BNN Bloomberg reports Ontario to table budget amid both surging revenues and potential slowdown. I'm going to talk to BNN Bloomberg's Amanda Lang, host of Taking Stock, in just a moment. But Siobhan Morris is CTV's Queen's Park reporter, and she was previewing Budget Day this morning on the morning show on News Talk 1010 in Toronto. Here's what she said.
I think you can sketch some things out based on the kind of language we've heard from the finance minister, the premier, and to some degree the labor minister over there, maybe the last week or so. And that's a big focus on building the economy through things like the skilled trades, through manufacturing, those sorts of industries. We heard a lot of focus in the last budget, the one that the government presented right before they went to the polls in June. That one focused a lot on building physical infrastructure with some really splashy highway projects. This time, it seems like they're focused on a growing industry across the board, getting more people into the skilled trades and adding more, as the premier says, well-paying jobs.
That's Siobhan Morris. Amanda Lang, host of Taking Stock on BNN Bloomberg. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you agree with what Siobhan just said?
Yep. I think there's some sense in that.
All right. How do you have surging revenues and potential slowdown? How does that work?
It's sort of a complicated picture, right? Because you can see growth on the one hand, but also what we've seen here are concerted efforts by central banks to slow our economy down. And so we are going to see, especially in light of the kind of mini banking crisis, I don't want to call it a banking crisis, but what's been happening in the U.S. with a little bit of chill around the world, you are going to see a bit of a slowdown in activity by financial institutions, by lenders, and that will have spillover effect across the whole economy.
You know, it's interesting to me that from all quarters, it seems, people are saying there's not enough money spent in education, there's not enough money spent in healthcare, there's not enough money spent here, and yet I don't see the Doug Ford government slashing the budget.
And that's true at the federal level, too, actually. I mean, it's really interesting that we are seeing, if anything, more money spent in those places, but not fixes to the problems that we see. So what I think a lot of people want to see in an Ontario budget and in a federal budget is actual creative solutions to how we're spending the money, doing better with what we have. And I know that sounds easy. It makes it sound like you're Chauncey the Gardener, but there is a reality to this that we can't keep spending money in ways that don't work. And we do at some point need people to sit down and draw up new blueprints for what we're doing so that we get more effective results.
Well, the Ford government has announced a new manufacturing tax credit in the budget.
Yep.
That's going to give Ontario manufacturers up to $2 million a year. We don't know how many billions they gave VW. Are they on the right track in that regard?
Well, so that's a funny one, right? On the one hand, you hate to see government subsidies because it amounts to tax dollars picking winners over others, one over another, and that's never a good policy. You'd prefer to have just a level playing field. When there are incentives, sometimes they seem to work, sometimes they don't, but there's opportunity cost in all of this. In this case, we have to put it in the context with President Biden in the country. We are up against now a trading partner that is doing this in a massive way. Their new Inflation Reduction Act is going to spend billions and billions to subsidize and incentivize investment and manufacturing in new technologies there. So it kind of adds new pressure for us to do this thing that we're not even sure is the right thing to do. It puts us in a bit of a difficult spot, Jerry, to be honest, because even if you hate this, if you don't do it, you're not even in the game. So it becomes really impossible for politicians to really respond properly.
Amanda Lang is the host of Taking Stock on BNN Bloomberg. We're looking at the budget that'll come out this afternoon. More details on the rush later on this afternoon as you get the post-budget analysis. If you were mayor of Toronto, Amanda, and why don't you run because everybody else is, would you be expecting some money from the province?
I think they definitely need some money from the province. There's a bit of a crisis brewing from the province and the feds, for that matter. So, yes, I think so. We always seem to be in this situation, right, with the city because of the balanced budget law, that they will need to get an influx of cash of some kind. There is money earmarked that should come their way for big projects on infrastructure. But that's one where we see this kind of fight between governments. And when one level of government cuts, it's often at the expense of transfers to the other level. And that's where, as taxpayers, we really do have to remember it's all our money. And how it gets divided up between the three has been predetermined. But where we think it should go best is what should should matter. So I hope that there's a recognition that the cities are closest to humans and closest to the lives we live, and that they, you know, they often need to spend the money in the most effective way.
I thought, though, that the signals seemed, you know, Doug Ford saying, well, the city council in Toronto, they need to get their act together and figure out how to be efficient. I heard him saying, you know, there's not going to be a lot in this budget to help Toronto out.
Yeah, I mean, there's tough talk there for sure, and that's easy. I think that's easy politically to say, but there's a reality to these things that sometimes the talk doesn't match what ends up happening. There does always seem to be, in the end, the money that flows when it needs to the city for the things that need to happen. So I assume, I know, will there be massive new amounts? Doubtful. And the other thing, of course, that's up in the air is this particular premier had a very good working relationship with our last mayor, our outgoing mayor, or outgone mayor.
No.
He may well be in a position where he can kind of pause a little bit and figure out who's you know, negotiating with on the other side of the table before he really commits to anything. So it might be this budget does take a pass on anything major, but at some point they have to come through because the city desperately needs it.
Did you settle on the gone mayor? Is that...
I guess the gone mayor.
Okay. Let me ask you about something else. The Financial Post is quoting the CIBC's Benjamin Tall saying chance of recession in Canada and the United States has risen notably over the past 2 weeks. Would you agree with that?
Ben is so smart. And what the point that he's making is the chill on banking across the two countries, but especially in the U.S., is disinflationary, as he says. And so it's actually allowed both central banks to kind of take a bit of a breather, but it also means they won't lend to businesses. So in a roundabout way, what the central banks have been trying to do, which is cool down activity, just happened in a rush because of the kind of lack of trust in the system, and now the banks have to be on guard. So it's kind of the worst way for it to happen, but what he's saying is this may actually achieve the effect that the central banks were looking for, which is businesses don't get the loans they wanted, they don't do the hiring they were going to do, and a recession then ensues. So he's just saying the likelihood went up from a couple of weeks ago, and I think that probably makes a lot of sense.
Okay, well, that sounds scary. I mean, people are already thinking, you know, can't afford groceries, can't afford this, can't afford that. A recession doesn't sound helpful.
Well, actually, I mean, in a roundabout way, it does. Some of those pressures, of course, on those prices won't be affected by recession, especially groceries, because some of that is sort of internationally priced based on weather and war. But the things that are based on supply and demand locally will be better if a recession comes, including, of course, lending rates. If we see banks relaxing, if we see central banks relaxing off raising rates. So in some ways, a cool down, just cool enough, it's sort of the soft landing people talk about, will be better. Some of your prices will drop because people will have to court customers more than they've had to, and that would be a good thing on the affordability front.
Okay, this is real quick, and it's not really a financial thing, but the Chamber had been pushing the Premier to allow, as we do with alcohol, if I was going to take you out for a drink, Amanda, there's a place to go. If we were going to go out for cannabis, there's nowhere to go. And people want sort of cannabis bars, and he says, no, we don't need people standing outside smoking their doobies. Are you with him on that?
Oh, I'm with him on that. I mean, I'm not the person to ask about this because I think it's all a questionable sense to really have market something that is not good for people. It's just going to kill people in a whole new way. So yes, people can buy it legally and they can go home and they can enjoy it, but do we need to create a whole new event space for it? I don't think so. And I certainly, as a human, don't want to be inside a place where someone next to me is emitting secondhand anything.
All right.
So, as I say, you might want to ask someone else who's a little hipper on this stuff. I think, you know, legalize, yes, but market and promote, absolutely not.
Amanda Lang, thanks a lot.
Thank you.